If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Podcast Unlocked, episode 55. This is IGN's best and only Xbox 360-centric podcast. I am your host, Stephen Hopper, the head of IGN's Xbox channel. Joining me today are locksmiths Mitch Dyer, associate editor of IGN Xbox.
Hello.
And we have another special guest for you, everyone. It is the executive editor of IGN PlayStation, host of Up at Noon, and the co-host of Podcast Beyond.
That's me.
Give it up for Greg Miller.
Hey.
Whoa.
It sounded like you said X-botch in the beginning.
I did.
Like, you have the best
you
X-botched and only.
That. I X-botched it.
Oh,
I X-fucked it up.
There you go. That's what
Three rings.
Right there.
So what's up, guys?
Hi, Greg.
Nothing. Hey, how
you're
guys
not,
doing?
You are not Xbox
centric.
Person.
No, I'm not. I'm not a centric Xbox person.
No.
But I've been playing it lately with the prototypes and the Walking Deads.
You've been
and
playing
the,
a lot of it.
Yeah. I get around. I try to give out my achievements. That was the best part before I signed this trophy Armatus back, you know, because basically Colin and Jack and I used to be so into trophy, or whatever. We are so into trophies that we signed this Armatus saying that other people couldn't go on your PS3 and earn you trophies.
Is there an actual document?
We did it on a podcast,
okay.
Beyond one time.
That's acceptable.
And so, yeah, now but those were the best times when Eric Brudvig would come over and have to play a game on my system and just start paying in trophies. I was like, oh, yeah. So now I still like to go out and hand those out to other people.
Excellent.
Excellent indeed.
Very nice. Well, today we have Greg on. We're going to talk about Prototype 2, which he just reviewed. We're also going to talk about The Walking Dead Episode 1, which Greg also reviewed, and Bloodforge, which I reviewed, and it's a steaming pile of shit. But first off,
do some work around here, Mitch. Fuck.
Sorry.
We've got
I don't review anything.
Speaking of Mitch,
hi.
It's your birthday.
Yep. Oh. Mitch Dyer, right now.
So happy birthday.
Thank
How old
you.
Are you? Like
happy
4?
Birthday.
Yes.
D 40?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I just look really good for my age.
Yeah, and that's a banging dress you're wearing too, by the way.
Thank you. I was
you're
hoping somebody.
I was hoping for the birthday suit, but yeah.
Greg didn't say anything.
There's
about
There's too
my
many
dress.
Too many birthdays right now.
I know.
In IGN, we've had a bunch, and then I'm going away this weekend for a 30th birthday for one of my friends.
Holy shit!
My birthday is on Friday. Mitch's birthday is now.
Your birthday is Friday?
Jeez, Louise.
Man. Yeah. Like everybody I know is like back to back. I'm having a birthday party with some friends because our birthday parties are back to back to back. It's also Daniel Krupa's birthday right now. Yeah. Our
He's
UK,
in the UK
editor at IGN UK.
That's crazy.
I didn't know they had birthdays over there.
Me either.
Yeah. I thought they didn't celebrate them.
Krupa and I share a birthday and a queen.
Okay.
Nice. All right, Greg.
Yeah.
Tell us about Prototype 2.
It's not great, but it's not bad.
Okay.
Prototype 2 is an interesting one. I was super jazzed for it coming in, and I didn't like Prototype 1. I played Prototype 1 for maybe a good 4 hours, 3 hours.
Is that because Prototype was a bad game?
Yeah. Prototype.
The game was terrible.
Prototype was a bad game. And it was totally just like I got burned out, and I was like, this is stupid. I don't care about this character. Mm-hmm. And then when we started seeing things for Prototype 2, like me and Damon saw E3 a few years ago, and like the action was really cool, and like, you know, you're cutting off limbs and this stuff, and then they kept talking about Heller, this, you know, the main character, your new character in this, new protagonist, this guy named James Heller, who basically went off to fight the good fight for the army and everything else, and his wife and daughter were left in New York. Another outbreak happened, and he told them to trust in the government. Everything's going to be okay. Just chill out. They'll take care of you. And he comes back from the war and finds his family killed. Like, basically, they got killed by the Mercer virus, Alex Mercer from the first game.
Right.
He's maybe a bad guy now or whatever. So he may have released this virus again to make more zombies, which are now overrunning the city and all this stuff. So you know, Heller immediately turns his rage towards Mercer, gets his own superpowers, and then the game starts kind of thing. That's how they pitched it to us. And I was like, right. That sounds awesome. And yeah. They showed that Homecoming trailer where he's talking on the phone and it's all really slow and like there's piano music, which always means it's going to be intense. Mm-hmm. And it was cool. And I was totally down for that story and to get interested and get in there and be this character. And then I started the game and he's just totally the stereotype of just running around cursing every other sentence. And yep. Like all he is rage, like Kratos or whatever, but even more goofy than that. Cause he's like, I don't know. Oh, fuck computers. What this? I got a button with a squiggly line. And they're funny in the way of like, oh man, that's ridiculous. But then it's like, oh, but then why do I care about the story? Like, I don't, oh, this is my neighborhood. This used to be my church. It's like, you went to church. Like who the fuck would marry you, let alone have a child. And then you're going to try to act like you have all this range of a character. Like, no, I don't care. But playing the game was fun, with the exception that everything was super repetitive again. It's similar uh-huh. to it. I mean, it was basically, you know, somebody calls you, so you're on the cell phone, just standing around in the place you just jumped to. Uh-huh. And it's like, okay, I got to go here and consume this guy and get in and get this and get out and kill everything, and then the mission will end. So you just do that over and over and over again.
Everything you just said about this game sounds literally the exact same
like
as Prototype 1.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
what's different? Like, I hate a prototype. Why do I care about this game?
This game doesn't do the thing where remember how Prototype did that difficulty spiking all the time? Where you'd be like, holy.
Oh, fuck. I definitely didn't get that
far. Okay, yeah. The Prototype got super hard by the end of it or whatever, mm-hmm. anything else. And this one, it's one of those things where they take away some of your abilities in a certain respect, where they give you a power wheel of just 5.
Right.
And you don't unlock them all until the very end of the game. So you get going, and it's the one thing I was telling everybody that it nails is an open world game. I'm a huge fan of a good open world game, a good third-person action game, and this is totally one of those things where once I figured out the collectible system, and it was like, wait a second, I can look at the map right now and know where I like it would ping where black boxes were, kind of, and then you have to go search,
kind of like Infamous's shards.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I would just go spend. I would do that, and then whenever I got to one of the new islands, I would just go there and spend like an hour and a half walking around, clearing everything, taking out every group, doing all this. And as you're doing that, you're getting EP and whatever, evolution points, so you can level up all your powers. But then you're also finding people on the map that have special DNA that upgrades your claws and all this stuff. So as you're doing all these little things, you start to feel more and more and more powerful, to the point of then, you know, all of a sudden you're noticing you're jumping further, you're flying further, you're able to take out these enemies that were giving you shit before with no problem. And that's a cool feeling. It's a cool feeling to watch this New York become your bitch, you know what I mean? Where you just all uh-huh. of a sudden you're like, I'm number one here. I can do whatever I want now. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed that, and I liked collecting, and I, you know, as repetitive as the missions were in, like, for me to sit here and talk to you and boil them down, as repetitive as that sounds, it still was kind of fun. It was still fun to go out there and do that and see how I could, you know, walk around and distract people to take over their bodies and move to the next guy. I mean, I gave the game a 7. I do think it's a good game. Right. It's just, it's got enough things that right now, in the climate that, you know, we have for video games, we're lucky enough to have a lot of great stuff and really, you know, high aspirations yeah. for where everything's going. It's not pushing it in any way. It's just like, this is a fun time waste. It's awesome if you are an achievement whore or a trophy whore like myself. Awesome game for, you know,
it's just super easy, right?
Yeah, you can start, like, I had to do it on 2 playthroughs, because when I review games I usually play them on the normal difficulty, just mm-hmm. so I don't get into a part and get pissed off and blame the game. Mm-hmm. So I had to go through and do it on hard, but hard is unlocked from the beginning. It's not that hard, and you can just roll through it and do it, and then you'd have to play a little bit longer to upgrade all your stuff. But totally worth it if you want easy achievements, and they're fun. It's like I said, it's fun to run around and tear things apart.
Every time I watch someone play that game, I just get bored.
Yeah,
like I watch Destin play it, and I'm like, what? No, this looks exactly like Prototype. Even the combat stuff, like, because I previewed it and I was kind of impressed, mostly because of the story stuff that it sounds like they just totally missed. Mm-hmm. But the gameplay
at the very end, they bring it back. Like all of a sudden, it gets serious again. No, okay, you're like, no, you missed your chance, yeah, here, Radical. Yeah, you don't get to ignore this for 10 hours and then come back to it. Like, oh yeah,
I already forgot. Yeah, dude, it's, I don't know. Every time I see, the gameplay looks the exact same, even with all the powers and stuff. It looks very, very familiar in a way that I'm just kind of like, I'd rather play anything else.
Sure. Yeah, no, I get that. And I get that. And I think that was maybe it, that, you know, I was in the mood for a good open world game and just something to run around and do and collect and, you know, have that experience. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed that part of it. But yeah, it doesn't look that great. You know, it's fun and it's got all these little things.
One thing that kind of appealed to me, I mean, the idea of the main character taking on Alex Mercer and having Mercer being like a main antagonist to the game, like the Donkey Kong Jr. effect, I guess. Like, I thought that was a really cool way of going about it. And you see, like, the ads on TV, and that's one of the really important things they're trying to emphasize. They show the guy, like, you know, facing off against Mercer, and then bam, it's like Prototype 2. Now, is that a really big element in the game? Like,
no.
Are you facing off Mercer? Well, then what the fuck?
I mean, that's what you're building to, for sure. I mean, spoiler alert, the final boss battle is that. Yeah, for sure. Right. But I mean, like, it's very much, I blame you for killing my entire family. We tussle a bit, and then you infect me with powers.
Yeah. And then they're friends. He's like, no, dude, come with me. You're on my team.
And he's like, okay. Yeah, exactly. Heller's like, I guess I'll just forget everything that's happened. Yeah. But I mean, like, you're getting a lot of different feedback from everybody. But that, and that's the thing. Yeah, the story then just gets to be like, kind of just spinning its wheels of what's happening and like why I'm working or helping anybody out and doing all these things.
Yeah. That seems super disappointing to me.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't even want to begin to try that game.
And it's interesting that I think Radical has always struggled with that. You know what I mean? I think there's a lot of developers out there who are great with gameplay or they're great with story, and then there's the fewer that are great at doing them both at the same time.
Yeah.
And you figure Radical made its name with Hulk Ultimate Destruction, and for a Hulk game, you don't need a story, right? You are the Incredible Hulk. The army wants to stop you. Don't do that.
Well, stop. What's funny is, like, the gameplay looks exactly the same as Ultimate Destruction, which was awesome 7 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. There's a lot of things it hasn't aged well. And like Destin and I would go back and forth about it because we would sit there and talk about it. And he's like, these are the same animations, this prototype, the same animations of Ultimate Destruction. And I'm like, I know they look exactly the same. I'm not putting that. He kept trying to get me to put it in the review. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not putting that straight up in the review because I don't know. I'm not there on a coding level.
Right.
But I know he's working on a feature right now that's video splicing all threes together and seeing how they match up. So it's going to be interesting to watch.
Cool. Well, let's talk about something that has an actual good story.
Yeah.
The Walking Dead. Episode one.
A New Hope.
Nope.
What's it called?
A New Day.
Oh, I got to go change some reviews. I'm sorry. Yeah, A New Day. Great. Awesome. Me and Mitch loved it.
Yeah.
Cool.
You played it too, didn't you?
I played through it.
What do you think?
I really liked it. My favorite parts of this game.
Are we going to spoil this?
No.
Okay.
If you want it totally spoiled, go to the Walking Dead episode one game object and look at me and Rich's, Mitch's. Me and Mitch's Walking Talking Dead.
Yes.
Which actually screwed up, but that's not the name of that show.
It's the Talking Walking Dead. Yeah.
Eric Goldman's like, you did great, except you got the name wrong. I'm like, no.
Well, it's funny. It pops up too. It says Talking Walking Dead. You're like, welcome to Walking Talking Dead.
I'm dyslexic. Deal with it.
Yep.
Nice. Deal with it.
Sorry. Carry on.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, without getting into any specifics about the story or what you're going to, you know, experience in that context, one of the things that really stood out to me were the parts where you have, where you're, like, you're getting attacked by a zombie and you have to kill him. The sense of urgency, I really don't think that spoils anything for anyone.
Yeah,
hoping,
totally.
Because you face zombies and there are some that you have to kill. Sorry, kids. But yeah, like there's this first part, like really early on in the game, maybe within the first like minute and a half, where a zombie is like crawling towards you and you're up against the side of this police car and you have to like reach over and grab the shell as the zombie's coming at you. And, you know, it's like kind of a point and click styled interface where you move the thumbstick and you get the cursor over the shell. Then you pick it up. Then you have to turn around and pick up the shotgun, which is just the same, like equidistant on the other side. And you have to grab that and then put the shell in there, all the while the zombie's crawling at you. And that sense of like, oh shit, like urgency.
Yeah, you
suspense.
Have to do these very mundane things in the context of like a very panicked situation.
Yeah, and the game does a great job of capturing that feeling and like, oh shit. Because like, you know, when you're watching a zombie movie and, you know, if you were watching it and see someone, you know, doing that, you're like, just grab the fucking shell. Like,
it's so easy.
You so goddamn long. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why is this such an urgent thing? But, you know, it really feels that way. It puts you into those shoes.
Well, that's what's interesting about their new, like, the way they have it controlling, right? Is that, like, they redid their adventure game system for this one to have it be different. And you control that cursor with the right stick or whatever, and then you move Lee with the left. And so you're moving the cursor around with the right to figure out what you're to do. Mm-hmm. And then to interact with that object, you have to take your thumb off the cursor, hit the face button, back to the thing, swing it back again. So it's one of those things that I think watching someone really good do that, you're like, oh, that's simple. But when it is, the screen slowly getting redder and redder around you, you can see the zombie getting closer and closer.
Yeah.
There is that, oh man, and like your reticle's not exactly where it needs to be and you're trying to line it up. It is tense. It is really cool.
And there were a couple times I died.
Totally.
Like, it's very simple, but it's very easy to die because you think you've succeeded in whatever you need to do, but you haven't because you need to go one extra step to, you know, to guarantee that a zombie is dead.
Yeah. I think you were watching me play the part where I failed, like at the motor in or whatever, I was like, oh damn it.
One step was not good enough. Yeah, it took me a while to figure out like what it was about Walking Dead that made me love it. Aside from, it's a Walking Dead game. It's a great Walking Dead story. It's a great atmosphere. The art's awesome. But like as an adventure game, like this is a genre I've really struggled to enjoy over the years because I just find myself like pixel hunting and not knowing what to do or where to go. And I think finally, like the point I settled on was, unlike Jurassic Park, which I know Greg loved,
Yeah, I was a big fan.
Like, Walking Dead has a far better sense of agency than both mm-hmm. Back to the Future and Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park felt like you were directing a movie more because you weren't involved whatsoever. You were telling people where to go, but it wasn't you doing anything. And I don't know. I guess Back to the Future had more player involvement, but it didn't feel like I was Marty McFly.
Back to the Future, I enjoyed as a fan for the in the beginning, and then mm-hmm. I really didn't like the ending. The last few episodes, I thought fell apart. But playing that game, it was. I think it's when you look back, it was totally like, at least at the moment, Telltale's like last adventure game. You know what I mean? Where it was like, I'm gonna walk around and just click everything, and I'm gonna talk. I'm gonna say every conversation option possible, and eventually I'm gonna get where I need to be. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
So the difference is that Walking Dead puts you in the shoes of this guy, this criminal, and it has an established history that you can't change. It has all these characteristics about him that are definitively Lee Everett. Mm. But from there, you kind of build this person out of that. Like, you mold him to become kind of yourself, or at least the version of him that you want him to become. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize it until I was watching my roommate play last night that the Lee that I built, and you mentioned this during our Talking Walking Dead, was like my Lee versus your Lee.
Exactly.
We played such similar Lees that I didn't really get a sense of how different they could be. Man, they can be completely different people.
Yeah, and it's subtle, the kinds of interactions that you can have with people and the choices that you can make.
Yeah.
Just saying something the wrong way will change someone's outlook on you.
Right, so I was playing on PC last night because I bought the collection on PC because that's going to be where like my retail saves go. Mm-hmm. And what I'm going to do is play on debug and do all the shit that I don't want to do. And then on retail, I'll just kind of build my perfect playthrough. And then both ways, I get like different experiences. But mm-hmm. I'm playing last night and I'm going through all these different options that I didn't see on 360. And I find myself like, I can't deal with this. Like, I just want to see it. But mm-hmm. I don't ever want to deal with the end result of this. Like, I don't want to side with this person. I don't want to have betrayed this person. Like we talked about, like, I didn't side with Kenny during an argument. Right. And I felt like shit.
Totally. Like, and that's what was so weird about going through and playing it again for the second time when I was doing the review and trying to see everything, is I went through and I was like, I don't want to do this. Like, I don't, like, you know, I think if you followed any of the coverage, you know that it's Lee and he gets basically put in starts taking care of this first grader named Clementine. I can't speak today.
First grader named Clementine.
And, you know, I didn't want to be mean to her. Like, there was things where she asks you questions and you can be totally straight up honest with her, you know, sugarcoat it or, like, you know, say nothing. And it's like, I always wanted to sugarcoat it. I want it. This is a fake kid. I know it's not a real kid, but for real, for
clearly
me, like,
voiced by an adult.
I know. I wanted to make sure she was always cool with stuff because when I would say, "Oh, I don't know if it's dead. I don't know if the zombie's dead," then she gets like, you know, sad face and like it talks about her remembering. It's like, this girl's been through enough, man. Or she's been living in a treehouse. I want
to
help her.
My biggest regret was we were at a place and she's like, "I have to go to the bathroom." And in my response, I selected just go, thinking he'd be like, "Oh yeah, just go ahead."
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, "Just go."
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like, oh, no, you yelling at her? I didn't mean
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've been down that road. But yeah, I mean, it's a great game, and it's one of those things I think that, like, you know, you're talking about, Mitch. It's like, over time, when you watch somebody else play, when you make the other choices later on, it's like, oh my gosh, like, this is a different experience. Mm-hmm. And that's why a lot of people keep tweeting at me and asking, you know, should I buy it now or wait for it to, you know, wait for all of them to be out at once? And I'm like, I'd say buy it now because you get the 3 save slots and you want to go in there and fool around. Yeah. And it's one of those things, like, last night, my roommate, the Mike Mitchell on Twitter, he is reading through all the Walking Dead books off my bookshelf. So he came home and he finished book 3 last night. So we just started talking and I was flipping through. And it was one of those things, like, just talking about, I mean, I love the Walking Dead franchise and just talking about the comics. And then when I was paging through, it's that those books are still happening when the game's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'm also like three quarters of the way through Walking Dead, The Rise of the Governor novel. And that's in the same time frame too. Mm-hmm. So to see all the references to each other, you know, I mean, based on Kirkman's book from 2004 or whatever it was, all the references that are people making and drawing and how they're all strung together, it's like, man. And he went out to the bar and I was like, I'm going to play Walking Dead again. Like, I already have all the trophies. I have my playthroughs, but I want to play again. Like, I just want to keep doing that. That's cool. I don't say that often, especially about an adventure game, right? Like, Back to the Future, I wasn't like, oh, let's go see it again.
It helps that it's only 2 hours.
Totally.
You can sit down and play it for, you know, 2 quick sittings or 1 kind of lengthy sitting.
Yeah.
And not feel like a terrible person for playing video games all day.
Yeah.
Like, I played through the first half of it last night for the second time and was just like, I cranked through it in 45 minutes because I knew, like, all the places I need to be.
You knew how to put batteries in.
Yeah, exactly. And I get halfway through and I'm like, all right, like, that's as long as it would have taken me to watch 1 episode of the far inferior TV show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's good stuff.
Excellent.
Highly recommended.
Yeah, hey. And it comes out Friday.
Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for us Xbox
no
gamers.
No season pass for you guys.
No season pass, unfortunately. Yeah. $5 an episode, though. That's
still a good deal.
Still pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's basically what you're paying on PC.
That's what I pay.
Yeah. So. It's totally worth it. Speaking of Xbox Live Arcade, let's talk about a real stinker. Bloodforge.
Hey, I watched you play that game. It looked fucking awful.
Because it was fucking awful, Mitch. It was, yeah.
I thought it looked cool.
No, you didn't.
The graphic style looked nice. The visuals were cool.
Does not make a good game.
Walking by or looking over Colin's desk at Steven's desk.
Gets your attention in passing.
Yeah.
I dig the style. I like the idea of it, like taking a Celtic warrior and making him, you know, the main protagonist and taking that kind of God of War edge
kind
to
of?
A different kind of... Well, hold on. Don't get ahead of me.
I'm sorry.
Taking that whole atmosphere and bringing it to a game. You know, no one's done that yet, and that was kind of cool. However, it lifted everything else from God of War as well. The gameplay mechanics, the combat, the fucking Crom, the main protagonist, just shouting everything all the goddamn time. And
Ares! Your son has returned!
Like, that nonstop just... got on my fucking nerves. And the camera, pretty much the worst camera I've ever seen. It is so fucking bad. Just going from place to place, like your dude's just running through and the camera's bouncing around like it's fucking drunk.
It's weird. I didn't notice it until you pointed it out.
Yeah.
Because you were mostly standing still, like trying to show me another camera thing where like I caught on geometry that wasn't there.
Yeah.
But as soon as you started running, it was like being on a boat. Where it, in addition to rocking up and down to kind of like go with the inertia with the character, it's also swerving left and right.
Yeah, like it's going to fall over.
Yeah.
Like a baby is the camera person. They can't hold themselves up.
I don't know how to walk. I'm a baby.
What am I doing? Why did I have this camera?
But like even when you get in the battle, it's even worse. Because like you'll just be, you know, swinging your sword around and the camera will just freak out. Like there are execution scenes that you perform. If you stun your opponent, they sit there and wobble for a bit, and you can hit the strong attack button, and he'll do, like, you know, one of three or four, you know, execution moves. But you'd think that, like, with something that fixed in idea and that cinematic, like, okay, we're going to show you, we're going to take control away from you and show you lopping this dude's head off or stabbing him through the guts with your big sword or whatever. The camera freaks the fuck out. Like, it's cheering for you or something. It just starts, like vibrating intensely. You can't see what's going on. Like, oh, God, that camera is just terrible.
Did it ever change? Because when I saw you playing it, you were basically just moving from one closed-off area, like every fucking action game is.
Yeah.
They lock you in a room, and then, like, wave after wave of guy comes until it decides that you've killed enough and can now walk through the door to the next stupid fucking room.
Like God of War, like Devil May Cry, like... any number of games,
right.
Yes.
Okay.
That never stopped.
Fuck that.
It never stopped.
Nope. I will never play that game. You can't believe how much I'm never going to touch it.
I even gave you a code, and you're like, no.
You burned it. You printed it out and burned it. Reformatted your hard drive just to get away from it.
Yeah. Love.
But yeah,
well, sounds like you loved it.
It was great. And the controls are bad, too. Like, it just doesn't control right. Like, that's the cardinal rule with these kind of games, right? Like, God of War controls fucking great. Like, it's smooth and you dodge and you actually feel like you're dodging out of the way of shit. You don't feel that way in Bloodforge. It's just really heavy and unresponsive and ugh.
So I'm confused why this was part of the promotion, whereas Walking Dead is like, oh, fuck, it's out on Saturday. Sorry, we didn't know. Like, why didn't Walking Dead, something with a high profile and high quality, get that kind of promotion? Whereas something stupid like Bloodforge should be buried.
It's really hard to say. I mean, there's like all kinds of rigmarole that goes on when it comes to
the processes.
Xbox Live and the certification process and all that fun crap. So it's really hard to say why. I mean, I see why Microsoft would want to publish something like Bloodforge. I mean, the concept of it is interesting. It's
on paper, it sounds awesome.
Exactly. It's you know, a really kind of bite-sized God of War experience. I mean, who the fuck wouldn't want that on Xbox Live? So they heard that. They heard Unreal Engine. And they probably saw some, you know...
some sweet prototype.
Yeah, some sweet prototype and, like, you know, character models and art designs and shit. And thought, okay, yeah, that looks pretty cool. Let's get it slotted.
Yeah.
And turns out it sucked. So...
wah, wah, wah.
It's a bummer.
Wow, Fable Heroes is next week, and that game looks pretty fun.
Indeed. Yeah, you played that at Spring Showcase. How is it?
It's cute as shit and way fun.
Yeah. Okay, good.
I can see that game maybe getting repetitive just because it's very, very simple, but yeah. I don't know. It looks super fun. I can't wait to play more.
Great. Good. Hopefully that'll wash the taste out of our mouths.
The Blood Forge out of your mouth.
The bloody taste of Blood Forge. Uh-huh. All right, guys. Let's move on to some questions. Emails.
Email!
Thank you. Yair says, why does Lionhead keep insisting on making games like Fable the Journey when they can make a game like Black and White for Kinect? I mean, you're literally a disembodied hand in these games. It sounds like a perfect match. Hey, I agree.
Greg. Why?
Can't tell us what's up. Names? People know them as the Fable Studio. I keep making Fable games because Fable's an established franchise. People know that if you put a 2 at the end of the game, it'll keep selling well. Why do you think Prey 2 continues to be called Prey 2, even though it's got nothing to do with Prey? It's people know that if you put out another one, and like Black and White, I mean, it is one of those games that we love. Mm-hmm. People who remember it love it. But I mean, how many people right now who own a 360 and Kinect remember Black and White fondly? How many like teens do you think are out there like, oh man, Black and White was awesome?
Yeah, the Fable audience is far larger.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Based on the Fable exclusivity for the past 7, 8, 10 years or whatever.
Right, right.
And that's the other thing too, probably, right? Is like, mm-hmm. You think when you're thinking about Xbox exclusives and trying to keep that going, and what are Xbox 360 brands, right? Like Fable's at the top of most people's lists. It's in there for sure. Yeah. As something people know. Oh, that's an Xbox game. I know that, and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Fable's fun, but it fits a certain, you know, action RPG mold. I think, you know, Black and White is definitely very different in gameplay. It's more of a god game. It's a simulation game. I mean, there's not a huge audience for that on the 360. But control-wise, I think that's a very unique opportunity, and I think that would be something that maybe Lionhead would consider, hopefully.
With that in mind, and just to keep this trend of name-dropping ActRaiser every week, I always wanted Lionhead to do an ActRaiser game because of Black and White, because it's the same fucking thing. Wow. Where you're managing people and culture and you're a god and they worship you or they don't. All these various changes. And man, I would play the shit out of another Black and White game.
How did From Dust sell on Xbox Live?
How did it sell?
Yeah.
Kind of well.
I think it did. Okay. I think it did pretty good.
God simulators are always that weird, like, how is this going to go over? Are people wanting to do this? Blah, blah, blah. Right. You never know.
And it's From Dust very was just kind hit and miss.
Bad lemmings.
True. I brought up some land. Walk over there, please. Yeah, exactly. Do the thing.
Don't get on fire. Shit, you're on fire.
I told you not to do that. Why are you trying to walk through the water? There's a path right next to it.
Oh, the fucking game. Sorry.
Just kind of bad lemmings. That's like a back of the box quote.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be something.
Not the worst Lemmings game I've ever played.
Just bad Lemmings. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it'd be a lot of fun personally, but I think you're right, Greg. There is, you know, a much bigger audience for Fable games.
Yeah. So. There's something to be said for franchises.
Yeah.
As Call of Duty will tell you.
What's that?
It's just a little independent thing.
Huh. I saw it at their money.
GDC next to Fez.
I'll look into it.
Anthony says, I bought Trials and plan to get Minecraft and Fable Heroes. Blech. IGN gave Blood Forge a dismal 4 out of 10.
Yup!
I gave it a 4 out of 10, guys. That's awesome. And I was thinking about skipping it unless buying all 4 Arcade Next titles gives you some sort of a kickback, but I can't find anything on the dashboard about getting anything for buying all 4 titles. Is there any promotion for Arcade Next, or is this just an arbitrary event for these 4 games? Well, the thing about it is, no. You don't get any kind of promotional deal. I would recommend not getting Bloodforge, even if you did get a promotional deal, because it's $15, and what would you get maximum for buying all 4 games? Like another $15?
Yeah,
bucks?
Probably
you'd still have shitty Bloodforge.
Isn't Summer of Arcade usually like that, though? Where they, like, here, 3 great games
so
in one round.
They usually do it in the fall as well.
Yeah.
House Party did it as well.
That's
like
the
you,
one.
Yeah, just recently.
Yeah.
But no, there's no such promotion. The thing about Arcade Next, what it's basically trying to push is the idea that these 4 games that are being offered on the service now are the first 4 to have 400 achievement points. That's kind of what the Arcade Next is. It's the next level of arcade. It's the next, you know, you're getting twice as many achievements now. Mm-hmm. It's basically what they're trying to do with this promotion. It's you're not getting any kind of kickback for buying Bloodforge. So just don't, man. I cannot stress it enough. Stay away from that game. It blows ass. Ben says, after reading Mitch's article about a potential issue of the Xbox 360 not being able to be imported to the US, what does that mean for Durango if it were to happen? Could you guys dive more into the subject? Also, why is the 360 having this battle and not anything else imported into the U.S.? Thanks, guys. Well, about that last part. Tell us, Greg.
There's plenty of hurdles to go through whenever you import anything. I mean, we went through it with Vita importing it from Japan because, of course, it came out in December there, February here. And then you get into, like, you have to be – we had to mask our servers for a while. We had to ping off, act like we were in Japan so we could get the right firmware updates and all these little things like that. Sony, in general, is pretty good about it where their stuff isn't region-locked. And you can go in and, you know, eventually get to where you're setting things up. But even the Japanese units right now are set to English on Vita, but if you go into to account settings deep enough, then it all goes to Japanese, and you have to try to get Pear over here to help you. There's always some issue.
Yeah, I think what kind of more of what Ben is talking about is earlier there was like this court case between Microsoft and Motorola. And Microsoft lost, and now it's like the importing of parts to actually import units from China where they're being manufactured.
Well, I think it's the actual console from China, right? Like the built complete box.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's some sort of issue with Foxconn.
Yeah, it's because that's where the Xbox 360 is manufactured. And the gist of the suit was it was a bunch of patent infringements. Like Motorola complained to the ITC, which is the International
House of Pancakes.
Yes, that. It's something about technology, something commission. So Microsoft apparently violated 4 patent infringements with video codec and Wi-Fi tech.
Yeah.
I don't know what Wi-Fi. They were. It's all super under wraps. Nobody's giving anybody any details. Mm-hmm. It's all very technical and legally and boring. But what it means is that if Microsoft is deemed in total violation of these, that Microsoft can't import Xbox 360s to the States anymore, which is really bad.
They can't import them with their parts as is.
Right. I mean, anything that would violate those infringements means Microsoft would have to change video codec in the Kinect, would have to change any Wi-Fi tech it has in its hardware, whether that's internal, which, no, never mind, they don't have internal Wi-Fi. What uses Wi-Fi on 360, aside from the Wi-Fi adapter?
Wait,
the black squat models that have Wi-Fi.
The Slims have Wi-Fi.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Built in, bro.
Man. I need to get some of those. okay, yeah, so it's got to be that then. Just all these different kinds of pieces that would be in violation of this patent infringement. Microsoft told us, like, hey, we're pretty confident that it's not going to happen. We're okay, guys.
Well, the thing is, I mean, this has happened, I mean, before with Sony. I mean, they've gotten into the same kind of hot water with some patent infringements.
Yeah, DualShock.
DualShock, exactly. That's why they had the boomerang for a little bit.
Don't worry, Rumble was last generation. This generation is six axis. Let me show you Lair.
Didn't
work out well.
No, it did not.
This has happened before. Nobody thinks that Motorola is actively trying to stop the Xbox 360 from being a thing. I think what they want is just a little kickback.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they just want the money.
Most of these patent things go to settlement because it is so much money to fight them and try to prove it. And that's why there's so many patent trolls out there.
Exactly. I'll tell you how this is going to go right now is that as the commission is reviewing it, and they'll make their decision on May 18th or something, in that time where Microsoft and Motorola have time to rescind any redacted or redact any information about whatever, they're definitely going to settle because Microsoft wants to be able to import the 360. Motorola wants money. Microsoft has money.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll settle.
Settle.
Yeah. So there's really nothing to worry about. In terms of Durango,
they won't use that tech.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll just import. They'll just stay away from that. Okay, sorry, Motorola got us, guys. We're just going to stop making the 360. Here's your new console.
Whoops.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. We just push the timetable up. Fuck it, we're not paying Motorola. Yeah. Durango's coming out tomorrow.
Somebody just erasing a whiteboard and writing ship now on it. Mm-hmm. All right. Adam says, my question is simple. Should I go ahead and buy The Witcher 2 or wait it out and get Dragon's Dogma? Both look very nice and I've heard very good things about them, but I am bored with the games I have and don't know what to do. Well, Mitch, you've played both of them.
I have.
So tell us.
So I can't recommend enough that you buy The Witcher 2. Play that game. It's fucking incredible. It's the best RPG I've ever played. It's hands down my favorite RPG ever.
We talk about it all the goddamn time, don't we?
I know. It comes up every week.
Every week.
But it's so good.
Yeah.
Dragon's Dogma is interesting, but it's I don't know, what I played last was kind of, and this is all very, you know, it's an early build, the game isn't finished yet, but it's not perfect. Like, the game has some considerable issues. Mm-hmm. It's a big open world game done by a developer who isn't known for open world games, so it's very experimental, and they're trying a lot of cool new shit, but a lot of the pieces don't really gel. Like, the game has a lot of problems that kind of weigh down its good ideas.
Yeah,
we'll find out more when that game's out. What, next month?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
May.
So it's, May. It's out soon. If you really want to decide between the two of them, like, wait for reviews, rent both if you can. Like, I don't know. But the easy answer for me is Witcher 2.
Or the demo, actually, for Dragon's Dogma is currently live. So, yeah.
I had no idea.
It's on Xbox.
You've been playing too much Witcher 2. You don't know.
You haven't. You're in the zone. You're in the Rivia zone.
I really hope they let you ride a griffin in that demo. And by ride a griffin, I mean grab onto it and stab it with knives.
Wow.
I hope they let you do that too, yeah.
Yeah, I hope they let you do that in real life. Sweet. Find a griffin. Some guy named Griffin.
God, Dragon's Dogma has the craziest shit. That boss fight is insane. You grab onto a griffin and it takes off and you are flying in the sky and stabbing this griffin, lighting it on fire.
Well, awesome. Sounds like you're pretty sold on Dragon's Dogma.
Boss fights are cool.
Yeah.
The rest of the game is very, very standard.
So yeah, I mean, check out the demo then, right?
Yeah, yeah. If it's available, go nuts.
Yeah, totally. But Witcher 2, get it regardless, right?
Yep. Greg, you just built a PC.
I did.
You go and play Witcher 2?
No, I'm playing Reckoning. Thanks. Yeah. Reckoning is one of the weirdest gaming experiences of my life because I turn it on. I'm so excited to play it. I mute the TV, put on This American Life, and just play it. Skip through all the dialogues. I'm just like, give me the quests. Let's go kill stuff.
Let me beat the shit out of some werewolves.
The gameplay is so good in Reckoning. I love playing it, but yeah, I'm just like...
Story's garbage.
Yeah, I'm like, whatever. I don't care. What's going on? Like, it's just like overload of like names and people I've never heard of. It's like, whatever. Made-up names.
I would have listened to so many audiobooks if I reviewed that game.
Exactly, yeah. It's just a great, like, fun little time kill. Sit there, earn trophies, get better armor. Just looting. All I'm doing is looting. Mm-hmm. And that's why people are like, oh, you're going to love Diablo 3. I'm like, I'm 30 hours into this. Why would I want to stop?
I'm already there, dude. Shit. All right. Mike says, a fellow Unlocked mate and I recently got into a debate on the future of the next box. Next Xbox. Next box.
Next Xbox. Durango.
There you go. Durango. My theory is that with Halo 4 releasing in the fall, the next box won't be announced, released until 2014 or 2015. I say this because a AAA game like Halo 4 wouldn't be put under the bridge so quickly by Microsoft until at least 2 or 3 years after its release. I also believe that with software updates and Kinect, Microsoft is extending the console's life, showing that a new console every 5 years is not needed to keep gamers on their toes. Even with so many speculations emerging as we get closer to E3, when do you guys predict the next Xbox will be announced? Do you think Halo 4 will extend the 360's life for a couple years more?
So, just rewinding before
that's
we get...
a lot of questions. Yeah, a lot of parts of one
before
question.
Before we get to the when do we think it'll be out, which I feel like we talk about every week.
We do.
But the part where... I say this because a AAA game like Halo 4 wouldn't be put under the bridge so quickly by Microsoft. Remember when they put out Halo 2 and then immediately after put out the Xbox 360?
PlayStation 3 was on the market when God of War 2 came out on PS2.
Yeah, like God of War 2 was almost a PS3 title, but they were like,
let's not fuck around with it.
They did big user base on PS2.
It was a year, though.
It was less than a year.
I thought it was, like, was almost 2000... exactly a year. Halo 2 was 2004.
Okay, so even if it was 1 year, if Halo 4 is out, when is it? It has a date, November 6th?
Yes.
If we say that November, whatever, 19th, which is the traditional Xbox release date, if it's 2014, November 19th, they will absolutely put it out after Halo 4. There's no way Halo 4 is going to extend the life of this console by 2 years.
Yeah.
Because they know that Halo is going to stay strong. Halo 2 stayed super strong on the original Xbox for 5 years.
It's just like Black Ops, right? I mean, like, there's a new Call of Duty out or whatever, but people are still playing Black Ops. People are still insane about Black Ops.
Modern Warfare 2 still... charts pretty high on the playlist. It's
and I mean,
still
who knows
popular.
About backwards compatibility and stuff like that? Like, they're not really worried about that. And especially if they're not talking about it at E3, like rumors say, then it would be that Halo would come out. It would get its moment in the sun. Then next E3 will be all about the next box.
And probably the Halo 5 reveal trailer and all that shit.
Yeah, right. They'll tease that.
Yeah, they've come out and said that they're not going to show anything from the next Xbox until after E3.
Yeah.
So.
But
don't be,
I figure
don't be too worried about that.
Can we answer this question one last time and say that the Xbox 720
one last time until next
Durango
week.
Will probably come out in 2014.
Probably.
The end.
Okay.
Agree? Yeah. Disagree?
I'm fine with that. I mean, I think at E3 they come out and they talk about it. Not this E3. Yeah, a year from now. 2013 E3. Mm. They'll announce all the stuff about it. Yeah. And then it kind of gets hazy for me is when they like actually try to put it out in the markets and whatever.
Yeah.
But I do think, I don't know if it's just Kinect, but I definitely think that both Microsoft and Sony are, noticing that they don't need to do 5-year cycles anymore. Like, these machines are still super strong, and they don't need to worry about it in such a way of like, oh crap, we need to get something else out. We need to up the bits.
Yeah, and with the economy kind of being what it is, I mean, they're taking notice of that and just trying to find more subtle ways of extending the life cycles of these consoles, you know, without, you know, dropping a brand new one. Like, shit, like, you know, Kinect and making sure that downloadable content and Xbox Live Arcade are at the top of their game.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, that does it for our emails.
Email.
I thought you were going to give it a big shout.
I can. It's kind of, the moment's kind of past.
See, is this your catchphrase? Is email your catchphrase?
No, it's Casey's, but he's never here, so I try to compensate.
Gotcha. Yeah.
He's really good at yelling email.
That's, you should just take it. That should just be yours.
I'm going to own it.
All right, good.
What if I just go, catchphrase? That's me.
Anthony tried to do that for a while and never took off.
Damn it. Fucking son of a bitch. I can't have any catchphrase.
You'll figure it out. You'll figure it out.
You'll get it. But let's move on to some MBKs. Mabux.
No. Somebody emailed. Did you see this email?
No.
Where somebody emailed and said, okay, Greg, just so you know.
Yeah.
So we got these MBKs.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're familiar.
Yeah, I remember the origins of MBKs.
Yeah. So we've been trying to figure out a way to make it fun to say, and we just kind of stumble over Mabux constantly. So someone sent us an email and said we should say it like Mabok, as if we were a chicken.
Mabok.
Mabok. Mabok.
Like a Hansen chicken?
Mabok. I don't know how to make chicken noise. But it's fucking hilarious. The idea that mabok could become a chicken noise.
All right, that's you.
Seems like it's really funny in your head. Seems like one of those things that's funny in your head.
Those chickens in your head are hilarious, dude.
They're the best, you guys.
They're the greatest.
It's like chicken run up there all the time.
Well, say it. Do it.
I just tried and I failed miserably.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
I don't think you failed. We'll work on it. We'll continue to work on it. We'll develop it. We'll hone it, as it were.
I'm going
to
practice off the air.
Perfect.
Go home tonight. Don't play any Witcher. Don't play any more Walking Dead. Just sit in the mirror in your bathroom.
Uncle.
Just make it happen.
Bok.
All right, guys. Anthony says, Trials Evolution, Joe Danger, and Excitebike. Marry Buff Kill. Go.
So, I'm going to marry Joe Danger, because that game is a recent discovery for me, and that new one looks super hot.
The movies?
Yes, that's the one.
It is super hot. It's a great game.
I'm going to buff Excitebike because, goddamn, that series is so good. And the new one they put on the Wii was also super fun.
Yeah.
And sadly, I'm going to kill Trials Evolution because something about that game is just not clicking with me.
Really?
I don't know what it is. Like, I'm playing it, and I'm like, this is exactly what I wanted. It's more Trials. It's got a bunch of new maps.
I thought this was what I wanted, baby, but it's not.
That's exactly
go.
It. Like, I wonder if the trial and error thing is just not for me anymore. Because
that's a definite possibility.
But you're not getting any then, like Joe Danger though.
Yeah, Joe Danger feels the same way to me.
Yeah, really.
Joe Danger, I'll like go half a second, restart. I'll do that maybe like 20 or 30 times before I'm satisfied.
Goddamn star back there. You know?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Maybe Joe Danger is just like so fucking happy all the time that I don't feel that rage.
It is.
I don't know, but
it's got personality.
Not the trials is angry. It's just like I don't know. I feel like I go all that way and I make one mistake and I know it's my fault, but I'm just to the point now where maybe it's getting old, birthday, haha.
Oh,
but
you.
Fuck, man, I just get so mad at the game and I don't want to play anymore. Even playing multiplayer, like I'm winning multiplayer, going, I'm so mad, I could have done better.
It's that quest for perfection, you know? You just want to do everything perfectly.
Yeah.
And it's,
we all know that so well.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's me. Yeah.
We're so good at being perfect.
Carry on. Anybody else?
All right. I'm going to marry Excitebike just because I have fond memories of that
classic
game when
dude.
I was a kid. And the 3DS one, have you played that?
I haven't really played it much.
Yeah. It was free for a while. I don't think it is anymore. Is it?
Yeah, I think it's permanently free.
I thought it was just like a short deal or something.
Be.
I don't know. This isn't a Nintendo podcast. But I loved
it's way too exciting.
On the 3DS. It was a lot of fun to be able to play it again in like some pseudo 3D effect going on. And I would boff Joe Danger just because, like you said, I love the personality. And it's such an upbeat, happy game, and it's just a blast. It'd be great in the sack. And I would kill Trials Evolution.
Mm-hmm. Any just particular because of that, reason?
Something's got to die.
Just by default.
Yeah.
Something has to
die. These are the tough hypotheticals you face.
Yep.
Exactly.
I married Joe Danger. He's a breadwinner. Mm-hmm. He's proven.
Mm-hmm. He'll take care of you.
Boffed Trials Evolution, the hot young thing. And then you kill Excitebike because I hate memories. And I hate childhood.
He does. And also old stuff.
Yeah. Old game's old.
You're like a Kingdom Hearts villain just going around killing enemies or memories and shit.
That's what I do with my Keyblade.
There you go.
Ride it home in the Muni.
Nice. Shistoff says, Virtua Fighter 5, Final Showdown, Tekken Tag Tournament 2, or Dead or Alive 5. These are all upcoming fighting games, in case you guys are wondering.
I'm probably not going to play any of them.
Exactly.
Exactly. I'm like, I don't know. Kill them all? I don't care.
I don't know. I liked replaying DOA on 3DS, but I'm not going to play a new one extensively. I don't know. I barely play Street Fighter Cross Tekken, and I love that game. I haven't played Street Fighter 4. I played Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom once since I bought it.
Slacking on me, dude.
I know. I have all these fighting games I love and would love to play more of and don't.
Shit.
So when it comes to playing any of these, I'll just play something else.
God damn it.
I'm sorry.
All right. What do you got, Greg?
I just don't care.
I mean, just to take part somehow, I'm just going to kill Tekken because that series is terrible.
Get out. Oh, my God. No, come back.
I'm sorry.
Come back.
Right away, sir.
All right. I'm going to have to save this one. Marry Tekken Tag Tournament 2. Because I fucking love Tekken Tag Tournament 1. It's my favorite, hands down.
It's literally the only Tekken game that could be remotely construed as good.
Favorite fighting game, probably one of my favorite games on the PS2
Jesus
at all.
Jesus Christ.
gonna buff Virtua Fighter, just because I liked it. You know, 5 was pretty decent. Final Showdown, I haven't played yet.
It'll be like $10 too.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a good buff. And kill Dead or Alive 5, because goddamn that series. I just can't get into it. It's not good.
You can't wait for scripted events in the middle of your fighting game?
It's so shallow.
Dude.
Not also, just because of the boobs.
Like I was into that game before I played Ninja Gaiden 3. Now I have no reason to ever want to play it because it's the same team. I have no faith.
Woof. Yeah, I just don't like Dead or Alive at all, so Dead or Alive 5 is probably not for me. Jarek, ooh, we got a PlayStation one
look at
for
this.
You,
yeah,
that was fortuitous.
Jarek says Jack and Daxter, Ratchet and Clank, Sly Cooper, Mary Boff, Kilgore.
So, are we talking franchises or first entries?
Franchises, I think.
Yeah, this is franchises. Oh, it's got to be franchises.
That complicates things.
All right. You marry Jack and Daxter.
Obviously.
I love Jack and Daxter so much. Okay. Since Precursor's Legacy.
That first game, dude.
I know. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. And then, now you go back and play, you're like, oh, this wasn't that great. But back in the day, so good.
It was the shit.
I would boff Sly Cooper. His new game looks hot. And, you know. Touching memories, and then kill Ratchet and Clank just because, like, I'm so over the series, man. Crack in Time is like probably the greatest Ratchet and Clank ever. It's beautiful. It's got so much to do, and I was just like burned out in the middle of it. I'm just like, I'm done. I've played enough Ratchet and Clank now, and then they made All for One. It's like, stop.
I've never been able to finish a Ratchet and Clank.
Just stop making these.
Yeah, they're charming and they're fun, but I don't know why people like them. They're the best games that shouldn't exist.
I like that little $15 pirate one. What was that called?
Oh, Quest for Booty.
Yeah, there you go.
Is that just like a DLC add-on?
Yeah, it wasn't really. You could play it standalone. Yeah, okay. Yeah. But it was after the one before.
Tools of Destruction.
Thank you.
I like that one.
Whatever, dude. Cool. I played Tools of Destruction and same thing, bailed halfway through because I was just, yep, got it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what it is for me, is they just stay a bit too long. It's like, you know, I get what you're doing here. Okay, cool. And it's like, all right, I got the disco ball, whatever. I just, And I mean, they're cute characters and stuff. I understand why people like them.
Yeah. I'm with Craig. Same thing.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the same thing.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. There's one obvious choice. Yeah.
That's the way to go.
Sly's good. I mean, I'm playing through the first one. Now. I say like I'm playing it regularly. I bought it and then played it and would like to go back.
Yeah, yeah. But I still have to do that for all those too.
Yeah, I mean, but it's cool. I like it a lot. I can't wait to play it more someday.
Sweet.
One day.
All right, guys. Michael says Skate, Tony Hawk, and SSX. Mary Boff, kill.
And these are franchises again too?
Yes.
Must be.
I would marry Skate. I was a big Skate fan. I would boff Tony Hawk, mainly for Thug. I was a big Thug fan.
Come on,
I remember
really?
Watching someone play that in college, and I went home and bought it. I was like, that's great.
That was the last Tony Hawk game I played where I was like, this is good, and then I realized it wasn't.
The ones before that, like, I couldn't get into. And like Thug, I like, and it was because it was kind of just a precursor to Skate, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Run around the city and talk to people and do things. And like, oh, that's cool. That's what I liked about it. Not like, you know, you go back to a pro skater, and it was just like, oh, I'm just doing tricks. Okay, whatever.
Kickflip for 2 minutes.
And then SSX can just, another one, die, kill. Okay. Yeah.
Do you play the new one?
I tried.
Nothing.
It's like, all right, done. Wow. I'm just thundering down this hill doing things. Hmm. I'm a soulless, joyless bastard.
I'm going to have to take... Well, I've got favorites in all of these franchises, so it's pretty difficult. Tony Hawk 3. I mean, that's my big litmus for the Tony Hawk series. That's hands down the best one. Like, I know you love Thug, but...
Don't forget about Thug.
Thug, dude, compared to 3, it's... I just loved 3. It was amazing. So I'm going to marry it.
Okay.
And I'm going to boff SSX because SSX Tricky was the fucking shit.
Yep.
Like, I love that game so hard. And Skate, the best one that I can pull out of there is 2. And I don't know. It was okay. It was good. But I'm going to let it die.
It's such great openings.
I played the shit out of Skate 2 and 3.
Yeah.
So I'm going to marry that one because I would love a new Skate game. That game just did such a good job of making you feel like you accomplished so much when you were like, holy shit, I heel flipped over that rail.
I just love wiping out the Hall of Meat.
Oh my God.
Remember that?
So
you
fun.
Can go online. I would go online and just watch for like 30 minutes at a time all these horrible videos of people wiping out or flipping through the air and landing on the park benches.
Yeah. It's also like the physics in that game are so strange because you could just do shit like that. Or you can, every time you wipe out, like you can jump into people and you can change your position, the position of your body. So you can like drop kick police and whatever. But the physics in that game are also super broken to the point that that game is one of the buggiest games I've ever played.
Yeah.
But it's always the funniest shit you've ever seen.
Yeah.
So there
are like countless videos on YouTube of just shit going strangely wrong in that game.
Uh huh. So even like, even as a kind of like technically fucked up game, Skate is still amazing. I love it. So that's my Mary. And I'm going to buff SSX. Because the new one kind of like reminded me why I love that game.
Mm-hmm.
Tricky especially. I don't know, the new one, I didn't like it as much as Jack who did a review, but I really like SSX. The whole the RiderNet tracking the stats.
RiderNet was cool, yeah.
All the new modes and shit, like requiring armor is kind of dumb, but the stuff where it's like don't board in the shadows because you'll get too cold and hang gliding and all sorts of nutty shit. Like the game is crazy and I like it a lot. And just by default, I guess, Tony Hawk dies, even though I'm kind of pumped for HD.
It's the Birdman. I wasn't sold on HD when I played it.
Like, you and Pete weren't.
There were just some there's some weird control issues that I was not sure on. But, you know, the game's not done yet. So
yeah, it's true.
There's time.
Mm-hmm.
There's time now.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
finally. So much time.
Michael 2 says, Baldur's Gate, Knights of the Old Republic, Mass Effect. I call him Michael 2 because his name is also Michael. And I got this email after I got Michael 1's email, so...
Good.
He's Michael too.
Yeah, ruin the name.
It's a good name.
Yeah.
Yeah, Baldur's Gate, KOTOR, Mass Effect. Mary Boff Kilgo.
I'm on Mary Mass Effect. Even though I was kind of bummed out by a lot of the stuff in 3, mostly the fact that, I don't know, that combat was boring to me, even though it was improved. I think we've probably talked about this.
Yeah.
Wave after wave after wave of dumb shit in that game. Anyway, that world and that story is just so close to my heart. Even though I really enjoy Star Wars. Like, Star Wars is my favorite anything in the whole world. I love Star Wars so much. And KOTOR is good, so that's why it's my boff. And I just don't know anything about Baldur's Gate.
Mm-hmm.
Words are hard.
Yeah. I'm married Knights of the Old Republic. I bought an Xbox for it. Loved it so much.
Yep.
Nice. Boff Mass Effect, because it's Mass Effect. It's, you know, it's the hotness. Mm-hmm. It was fun.
Yep.
But I guess, I mean, honestly, I guess in the long run of things, like, yeah, I hated 1. I thought 1 sucked.
Really?
Yeah, I was not a 1
fan.
Man,
1's my favorite.
2 I loved. And then 3 was like great, and then the endings and all this other shit that followed with it. But I didn't hate 3, but I didn't want to play. Why? Well, whatever. I like 2 and 3 a lot, so I fuck them. And then Baldur's Gate, I was never bitten by the bug like so many people were.
Huh. Interesting. I would marry KOTOR, boff Mass Effect, and do a secondary boff of Dragon Age.
Nope. You can't. Okay. Okay.
Watch
what?
Me.
I thought you.
Watch
were...
me do it. And. Kill Baldur's Gate just because something had to
something
die.
Had
and
to die.
I did play a lot of Baldur's Gate back in the day on PC.
I thought you hated Dragon Age.
That's Casey, man.
Right.
Sorry. I love Dragon Age 1.
Right.
Dragon Age 2, I have yet to really sink my teeth into.
Don't
I've played like
it.
Maybe 2 or 3 hours of it. I'm afraid because I've heard nothing but bad things.
I reviewed that game back when I was freelancing and I liked it a lot. Even though like a lot of people bitch about like all the dungeons are the same, which they are, and it sucks.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I like the people and the story in that game quite a bit. So if you're, I mean, you are obviously a person who really appreciates the lore. Like if we could probably have a lengthy conversation about Orlais.
Fuck yeah,
and really enjoy that. Greg would probably not.
No,
he wouldn't know. What the fuck, we're talking about Orlais.
Is that the stuff they put in ships?
Yes,
like, it causes the anal linkage.
Where the what was her name? Liana?
I don't know.
Liara.
It's where the Orlesians are from, Greg. Anyway.
Yeah, it's Tony.
Yeah, so there's a ton of good stuff there for the fiction. You meet a lot of the... Oh, fuck. Now I'm really going to blow it. What's the horn people in Dragon Age 2?
Minotaur.
There's a race.
Hawk.
In 2?
In 2.
I'm not... I didn't get that far into.
All right, so in Dragon Age 1, this is going to be a really boring conversation for everybody but you and I. But in Dragon Age 1, you rescued that guy out of the cage and he was really tall and dopey.
Yeah.
What was his race?
Because
his people come back in Dragon Age 2 in like a really fucking awesome way.
They have like horns and shit now?
They do in two.
We heard you called our friend tall and dopey.
Yeah, yeah, they come back with a vengeance, man. They redesigned them all so they're cool and shit. Not like that
tall
stupid.
And dopey with a vengeance.
Tall and dopey with a vengeance.
I love it.
Yeah.
Shit, now I'm going to have to play Dragon
Age 2. It's good.
I'll do it. I'll do it someday. I'm just afraid.
Yeah,
just really scared.
Just be prepared to be kind of bored by combat.
Oh, man. Bummer. All right, guys, that does it for MBKs and questions and answers. If you have any more questions or you just want to shoot the shit, send us an email at unlocked@ign.com. Make sure to keep your emails short and sweet so we can try to address them on the podcast. Conversely, you can hit us up on Twitter at podcastunlocked, at IGN, at Mitchie D, at GameOverGreggy, and myself at Steven_Hopper. And Mitch, what is our meta achievement for the day?
Our meta achievement is to email us about anything other than the goddamn next Xbox.
Yes, please.
Well, please.
Is that really it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Unless you can think of something else, because I got nothing. I never have anything.
All right.
Play through The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Buy that game. Buy that game on Friday. It's $5. Story's awesome. Game is great. Email us your thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us the path you took.
All that nonsense. Yeah, what's your Lee like? Let us know.
Yeah. Tell us all about your Lee.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you, locksmiths, for joining me on this podcast. And thank you, listeners, for listening to us locksmiths on this podcast. And we will catch you next time.
Bloop, bloop.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.